meeting of the Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation Committee to order. Mr. Alvarado indicated the two committees are meeting this morning to take up 10 items that have been referred to them. And I have no problem. We can take those two out of order. There's no objection. It was 3 and 10, you said?
No. 3, and lastly, we have 7, and this is the suggestion of the staff. So, item number 33685, which is a act, RGI 11, General Infrastructure Parks, Bridges, and Dams. And David, if you could be a specific, we had a concern that this is pretty general, so... And it's stated on the item, if you, what is specifically what it's doing.
The project...
Commissioner, welcome.
Good morning.
And for the record, introduce yourself. We see each other so often that, you know...
Good morning. My name is David DeLucia. I'm with Westchester County Parks Department as the Director of Park Facilities.
And I'm Kathy O'Connor, Commissioner of the County Parks Department.
Welcome.
If I would be able to give the Chairman a few photographs. This project is a general infrastructure project that we've been very successful in repairing and restoring dams throughout the county. This is the last piece of this project to design the Woodlands Bridge, which is at Woodlands Lake in B.E. Macy Park. It's been in the capital program for a few years, and it provides access to the South County Trail by our maintenance facilities and by the public. We have a wonderfully successful parking area and park at the Great Hunger Memorial, where the old Cantina restaurant used to be on the Sony
right.
Park. So that's a specific location. This bond is specific for the design of that structure. The structure is, for the most part, in pretty good shape, but the walkway, the railings, it needs some work. And bridges and dams are expensive. We'd rather not get to the point of a consent order like put the canopy going for a lake stamp. So we're looking at all the structures we have, and there is another capital project for dams that we will continue this successful program. But this particular one, the design of it remains in this project. And then we have in the 2012 program, which you'll see a presentation on, I guess, tomorrow. You'll see the construction for this project.
Yeah, and just taking a quick glance at the pictures, I hope there are no other bridges that are worse off than those. And if so, and I know you bike all of those areas, David,
yeah,
so bring it to our attention before it's too late.
Some of the dams are actually in remote areas of our park system, which we've actually had a consultant look at most. The dams are in different classes, so we've had them look at them, classify them. Some of them haven't been looked at by the DEC, who has the jurisdiction over these things, but we're working on, we have a plan. We've looked at them all, we've assessed them, and we will be coming to you for funding for dams like Peterson's Pond and in Blue Mountain. And, you know, there are a few out there that we need to address. So we're doing that. It's in a comprehensive manner. Yes, we will be coming to you for more.
Yeah, because that's scary.
Things we have.
All right, so specifically, this $500,000 is going to be invested on that particular area. There's no spreading of this funding going anywhere else. It's for this specific. Members, if you have any questions on this one.
You said 500, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
500. And that's just for the design phase of it?
It's to do a complete indefinite analysis of the dam structure and the design documents, yes.
Okay.
Yes, Tom.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. If you could just take us through responsibility. Like, I know DEC has the overall oversight responsibility. I know they looked at some of our dams, which is where the consent decree came from. which ones are they looking at? Which ones are we looking at? Are we sure we're getting them all covered between the two? How is that working as far as
it's working well.
Oversight jurisdiction?
DEC has jurisdiction over certain dams that are a certain height, hold back a certain amount of water, and they inspect them yearly. We have looked at the smaller dams and made determinations. Some we are looking at possibly taking out and just letting the water flow and not go to that expense. Some where we don't have a choice. We have to take care of them. So for the most part, they've all been covered. There have been some surprises. I have to tell you, in the last year, we've done some real analysis and reconnaissance in our park system. And we have found some that have been neglected for a number of years. So, but the DEC has the oversight on inspection. The responsibility is with the owner.
Yeah, and we do have plenty of structures out there. Be realistic. It's, Mr. Chair, I don't know if there are no other concerns. I guess a motion is in order at this point.
So moved. Second by budget.
Moved by Mr. Harkin.
Second.
Second
motion by Public right. Works.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Second. All in favor, both committees?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That item is recorded.
If we may, Mr. Chairman, go back to the top of the agenda.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you for taking out of water.
Sure, thank you. Cheryl, are you in mention 7?
No, no, 7 is
left.
Oh,
7 is
left. Oh, we got to the top of the agenda. Sorry.
All right, that's all right.
No, no. We're going up to 1.
We're going to 1. Okay.
All right, we're going to go up to 1. All right, I'm going to work off the Budget and Appropriations Committee agenda. These agendas are not...
It's fully joint anyway.
So,
listed items.
Our number one was the item we just took. So let's go to number one on the Budget and Appropriations agenda. That's an IMA Westlake Sewer System.
We just had a name.
We have a gentleman from DEF that are going to speak to us today about these items, item 1, 2,
good morning.
How's everybody? Just for the record, that tape is on, right?
Yes.
The commissioner's in Italy, so Jim Arnett,
Lucky,
Bob Giglio, and Marianne Pompa.
Good morning. Good morning.
So, so what do we have here? This agreement with New York City on the sanitary sewer remote monitoring system.
This is an early warning system for the detection of potential overflows in the Westlake sewer system. So it's funded by New York City to protect their Kensico Reservoir. Westlake sewer system essentially is installed on New York City property running along the Kensico Reservoir. And I want to say, what was it? It was about 2003. We had a sewer overflow. It was clogged by grease on Thanksgiving Day. It overflowed and went out into the Kensico Reservoir system. Consequently, EPA has approached New York City about having this installed in there to protect their water supply as part of their filtration ordinance. And since we own the sewer, they approached us to install this to assist them with their filtration ordinance.
Going, if I may, Mr. Chairman, going to the amendment itself. So the amendment is to increase the amount or to adjust. There was a $900,000.
Right. Initially. The $900,000 was, it came out of an agreement between EPA and DEP. When we started looking at what we were actually going to do, the technology that's being installed is much less than that. So
the $900,000 becomes $400,000.
Right, that was there.
And the amendment
whether
is that
whether an agreement between DEP and EPA still they need to do a certain dollar amount of work. That doesn't really pertain to us. But this particular work that we're going to be doing,
Reinvestigation technology.
It's going to be about $400,000.
Found that the technology itself and the cost of running it for the 6 years will be approximately $400,000.
Members, Mr. Harkin?
Thank you. And this will be fully refunded by DEP.
Yes, correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Dingus, did you have your hand up?
No, but the question, I guess, so the project now is going to be fully refunded.
That's correct.
So,
yeah. All right, I guess a motion is in order, if I may, Mr. Ryan. For budget and appropriation, moved by Mr. Harkin, second by Ms. Breckman.
Thank you, Public Works.
So moved.
Second.
The motion, the second. All in favor for both committees?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. This act to authorize the IMA as reported.
Item 1 and 2 on the agenda, so that would move us down to item 4, which you're here for also, right?
So this is... All right, the...
No, right? Which ones are you here?
All right. I had announced that that was a vote on the IMA. All right, there isn't any separate discussion on the act. I don't believe that's necessary. But for the record, I have a motion and a second for the Bond Act, the capital project.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
It's item 2 on the budget appropriation.
Second.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, and before you take the vote, just a question. In the documentation, it says there's the we're being reimbursed.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. All in favor on the capital budget amendment appropriation?
Aye.
Aye. Amending the capital budget appropriation for this capital project. Opposed? Okay. All right. Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Sewer district modifications 8, 9, and 10, right? You're here
right.
For.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Item 8 is a set of resolution to remove a single family residential parcel in the town of Harrison in the Maranac Sewer District. Item 9 is the environmental resolution. Item 10 is the actual act to remove it. It's a single-family residence at 6 Sunset Lane in the town of Harrison. It's been reviewed by both DEF and the Department of Health. It meets the criteria for removal. It has a minimal impact on the bat space. We have no objection to it being removed.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Public Works.
Full committee, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
And the second, on discussion then. Those in favor for both committees?
Aye.
Opposed?
Right. And for the record, items 8, 9, and 10 in this instance.
Those are the two items.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Moving right along, Mr. Chairman, if I may, we'll go back to item 4 on the budget agenda. Cooling tower replacement, new jail. And for the record, these items were reviewed by the Subcommittee on Capital Projects. And sir, for the record, we're ready to introduce yourself, both of the gentlemen.
That's J.J. Denasio, Department of Public Works. Josh, you're Public Works.
Morning. Welcome.
The first project we'd like to go over with you today is B101 cooling tower replacement at the Correctional Center. We're asking to retrieve funds for design, construction management, construction, and administration. It is to replace the cooling tower, which is part of the overall air conditioning and cooling system for the entire correctional facility. The original cooling tower was built in 1992 as part of the new jail construction. But again, it actually services the entire correctional center. The current cooling tower is failing. We do not believe it will get through the 2012 cooling season. Two out of the three motors have failed. There's considerable corrosion pipe in. The tower is constantly losing water. The project is to be accomplished through an agreement with NYPA. It is an energy savings project. And part of the reason for going through NYPA is the need to get this replaced prior to the 2012 cooling season. In the event that the cooling tower is not replaced, you'll lose air conditioning throughout the entire correctional center.
When?
In 2012. We're patching it together to get it through this year. It loses water daily.
Number.
Mr. Chairman, you said it was replaced in 1992.
It was installed in 92. In 1992, when the county built the new jail complex, we centralized air conditioning systems. So this is a central plant that was built in 92. And it was sized to handle the penitentiary, which is by now built, and all the remaining buildings out there. So it is central to the entire facility.
And the expected life of the unit when we installed it was 15 to 20 years.
20 years is exceptional for a cooling tower.
Thanks.
Other questions?
Yeah, thank you. From the environmental side, what exactly is NYPA's participation, contribution to this? How is that relationship working?
I basically asked NYPA to start to do the design in advance of the board approving it, because NYPA, as you know, does a lot of work with this, and they can accelerate this project. So my goal here is that if the board passes the capital bond, that I, in fact, will replace this at the end of the cooling season this year, which means that I'll have it ready well in time for spring and fall.
All right, NYPA's designing it, but are they designing in the energy efficiency?
Yes.
Or
that's all they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they will actually issue the contract, like many NYPA contracts
right.
They've done with. So they'll go out and bid it. And then when they do the work, I'll basically pay off, using the capital bonds, pay off the entire purchase without financing from NYPA, which is what we can all the time.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Just clarification for the record.
Sure. As you know, by going through NYPA, they automatically are green. They're like the green agency.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, we know that, but
yeah.
The public doesn't
sure.
necessarily
sure.
know that. So. Thank you.
For budget and appropriation, I guess. Yes.
Just a quick question. The standard was 15 to 20 years in 1992. Is that still the standard?
Yes. Yes. Cooling towers usually last.
Absent any new amazing technology.
Yeah. Well, typically, you know, we have a water treatment contract. We water treat all of our cooling towers to try to preserve the longevity. So it's been properly maintained. It just comes down to use, corrosiveness.
Life expectancy.
Yeah, life expectancy.
Motion for budget appropriations, I guess, is in order.
Move
by Ms. Williams.
Second.
Second by Ms. Marcotte.
For Public Works.
So move, Mr. Chairman.
For motion, I have a second.
Second.
Okay. On the question, both committees, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that's going back to send reported.
Item 5, Mr. Chairman, if you may.
That is for design funds to begin the process of resurfacing Pleasantville Road in Briarcliff Manor, now Pleasantville. It is approximately 3.3 miles of roadway. It extends from State Road to Bedford Road and from North State Road to the Briarcliff Austin Village Road.
Wait, when he says 106 Briarcliff Manor, what does that mean?
Oh, those are our county road numbers. Yes, this stretch of road is got three separate county road numbers, 401, 401I, and 106.
All right. I wasn't clear to me what the number is. It looked like an address.
Each county road has a county road number. That's how they follow.
These are the white with the black rounding sign, right?
Yes, it actually is on three separate segments. That's
right.
Why each one has a separate one.
When a county road goes to different communities, we break it off of that community and list it to that community. For obvious reasons, for snow removal, for a lot of other things that we use the data for.
Nice.
If
I may, Mr. Jenkins, the chairman of the subcommittee on capital projects had asked a question regarding jobs generation to all of these projects and so on and so forth, and he also had asked at the design aspect of it if you could explain to the committee how are we doing accounting for a job being generated through capital projects.
Well, we've been referring to Legislative Williams Committee since he made the request several months ago. There's a listing of all of our capital projects in terms of what the certified payrolls were for that particular month, and a summation of the people that are actually on the certified payrolls, and where possible, an attempt to identify where those workers live, whether they were in Westchester or not in Westchester. Again, that all that information comes off the certified payroll records, and that's how we've been providing the information. We don't use this $100,000 formula the federal government uses for stimulus funds by saying, for every $1 million, you've got 10 people working. We actually take the certified payrolls for that particular month, and those people that have actually listed on certified payrolls as receiving a paycheck, actually worked on the job, as opposed to using some arbitrary number, all right? And that's what we've been doing, tracking who's been actually working on a capital project. And in turn, where the certified payrolls list a residential address number, we try to determine if it's in Westchester or out of Westchester, determine how much of the population actually lives in Westchester.
Do we have a general number, ballpark number, off the top of your head right now?
No, it varies from month to month, as you know, based on the activity of the project. During the winter months, all the road jobs are dormant, the building jobs are...
No, I meant in terms of where people reside. Can you generalize?
I would say it's probably 30 to 40% Westchester, and outside of that, elsewhere.
But you have submitted something invited to the subcommittee of capital projects.
I've given it to a Legislative Williams Committee, because he asked me several months ago, and I've been giving it to him on a monthly basis. I could probably do a summary on a quarterly basis for you guys, so that you don't see that.
Yeah. And submit it to...
Has he done anything?
Yeah, on a quarterly basis, Mr. Chairman, it should be... would be good.
Right? Who else is on... Who's on the sub? Anybody on the sub?
No, he's pretty much... He is any legislator can, but he pretty much runs this himself. Early in the morning.
Pretty much?
Talk about power.
Super power.
But remember, it's a subcommittee of the Budget and Appropriations Committee. It's not like a full committee, but he does air out a lot of stuff so that we could hopefully expedite this meeting. Mr. Jenkins, I have you on the list.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question on the road scenario. I know that we're going through a process of identifying and eliminating county roads.
Right.
For this thing, especially in Pleasantville and Briarcliff. I know that there's conversations regarding their public safety opportunities, maybe doing the similar thing that we did with Austining, and with the folks in Pleasantville and Briarcliff. Just wanted to ask the commissioner if, in those processes and those discussions, as we're taking on and working with regional government as far as the police, are we also making sure to have those discussions, or are we having, including discussions on taking over those roads as well? So, I mean, we're getting it up to shape, and then handing someone something that's going to be in good shape.
Right.
But this is that would be a good opportunity, Mr. Chairman. It's just a point that I want to put on the record.
Sure, like we do with Dallas Prairie, we propose development in Dallas Prairie. We're giving them a road for $350, and that's all tied into one package.
Right.
All right, so that is still being pursued, so whenever possible.
Yeah, that's the way the administration pursues it. They try to tie the whole thing up into one. But typically, on a road like this, they want it improved, and then they'll take it over. They won't take it like North Road, any condition it's in.
But all I'm just saying, Mr. Chairman, is just to make sure that that in the conversation when we're dealing with this with Briarcliff, that Commissioner Hsu certainly in the conversations with the administration with public safety on this, that we make sure that's part of the conversation as well. To take over the road, so we don't have to continue. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, if I may, I guess a motion is in order for budget and appropriation.
Sure.
Moved by Ms. Crackman.
Second.
Dr. Williams.
Public Works.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Second. Both committees, all in favor on this?
Aye.
Opposed? This item is reported.
Moving right along, item 6, ID number 426 Plant, another act, RB2YY, Old Post Road over Clayland Parkway Drive.
Okay, this project is to design, manage, and do the construction for the rehabilitation of that bridge. Specifically, we will be replacing bridge bearings, painting the superstructure, repairing the bridge deck, stabilizing exterior wing walls, and Millen paving the approaches. It's also important to note that the when we redo the deck, we will be reconfiguring to build a sidewalk on the west side of the bridge. There's currently no sidewalk. Condition rating currently is 4.783, and there's an average daily traffic of over 7,000 vehicles.
Going to that number, is that considered pretty bad?
Anything under 5 is something that you need to address, because in the event that you fall under 5, you will be subject to a lot of safe flags, both yellow and red. So we don't want to get into a situation where, right now we have approximately 40 to 50 flags of varying colors for the state. So we're constantly trying to keep our bridges in a reasonable fashion so that we don't get red flagged. When you get red flagged by the state, you have to close it. So we want to avoid that. Under 5 becomes an issue. This is a bridge where we met with the local communities. They've got kids walking, and right now they're walking on the shoulders. So we agreed that when we do this bridge, we'll put a sidewalk in so that we create some safety issues for the local residents. So we already met with the community, and this is what they've asked for. So we're on board with them in terms of widening the bridge profile to accommodate a 4-foot sidewalk.
So this investment would include the whole project itself?
Correct, yes.
How many flags is this? 6 flags?
6 flags.
8 flags.
No. Well, the state has basically safety flags are called yellow, and the red flags are basically mandatory actions that you have to take for 24 to 48 hours, otherwise they shut you down. Luckily, we never get to that point.
Can we get a list of the bridges that are under 5?
Right.
So that we have that as well.
Right. We'll give you a current. Right now, the state does biannual inspections on bridges. They do it every 2 years. Some of the bridges go back to 7. We haven't got any latest reports. Some go back 8 or 9. So I can give you those ratings, but keep in mind that those ratings have different baseline years. So I'll show you the baseline year, but it may be a 7, an 8, or a 9, because the state does it on a biannual basis. And a little behind on getting this information, right? So this way you have to take that and look at the dates along with it to get a real perspective.
Which brings up a good point. You know, the state in the way. It is. I mean, we shouldn't even be expecting them to be supervising us.
No, it's a state responsibility. No, it's a fiduciary responsibility on the part of the state to do state bridge inspections. Yes. We do not want to take on that effort.
No.
It's a huge monetary effort.
That's not what I'm saying. But if you know from the field visit that something is, you know, I just mean that if they're late inspecting, we should know what the rating of our bridge is.
Yes, we get it off of them the whole time. So basically, they contract with it. They use consultants. The consultant breaks the information, gives it to a state on a disc. The state sends me a disc. And so when I get the disc, I download the entire disc so that I know exactly which bridge has been updated and where some of the issues are. Now, when the state does the inspection, if they see some things that are considered cautionary repairs that are needed, they'll send it to me as part of that submittal. And we take that, we give it to our people, either that, have it done in-house, or we've got the contract with it. So it's a pretty routine process, but I wait for them to send the actual disc of the inspections, the most current inspections. Yes. And they may have several consultants splitting up the county.
Mm-hmm. I just would hate to be waiting for the state.
No, I see.
Mr. Chairman, if there are not any other comments, I guess a motion for budget and appropriations is appropriate at this time. Moved by Ms. Freshman, second by, moved by Ms.
Go ahead.
My God, second by Ms. Frank. Thank you. We'll share the wealth here. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Motion by Public Works.
So move, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor, both committees?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. This thrill ride.
All right. As the listed item, we still have one more. The mapping item 7, countywide based map update for $450,000. And for the record, the CFO, right?
CIO.
I'm telling you.
Marguerite
Fry.
Sam Ware, assistant CIO for GIS.
Give us a lowdown on the end.
Bid 26 is an update to our well-established and successful digital countywide base map
that we, the county initiated, started mapping digitally in 2000 with some updates in 2004. It supports all of our county digital mapping programs and all of our core mission critical areas, emergency services, public safety, health. It also is a foundation of virtually every county, municipal, local government mapping program. Increasingly, we originally designed it to support, in 2000 very meticulously, to support digital tax mapping, and it's still being used by the 25 tax mapping jurisdictions. Now is at the foundation increasingly for, especially in the smaller governments, for their public infrastructure systems, and it's very widely used and endorsed by virtually every government, and also special districts, including fire and police districts.
So, but the update itself, what does it consist of?
Good question. There's two main pieces. The aerial photography, and that's straight down aerial photography. And there's a lot of engineering and control that goes into that. But from that photography, then features are mapped, such as building footprints. And so there's two pieces. There's the photography, which sets up the ability for our contractors to then extract data from that photography, such as building footprints, the edge of pavement, sidewalks, parking lots, hydrology, stone walls, other physical features that you can see on the map. And those two pieces are then distributed. Well, that's used in all of our county applications, but certainly by all local governments as well.
This is amazing what is done today. The other day I was looking for this particular address, and I double-clicked on the item on my iPhone, and the building itself that I was looking for just popped up in front of us. So it's amazing what is happening with this aerial and side picture. All right, let me get to the list. I have you, Ms. Marcotte, Mr. Burrows, and Mr. Jenkins. Right?
Sam, did I miss it? You mentioned there were two major pieces to the photography.
Photography, and then what we call them planimetric features. It's the data that's extracted. Several layers of data are then created from the photography itself. So it's data and photography, even though photography is data too, but there are.
Okay.
This is directly down
straight
aerial.
Down. Yeah. It's straight down because that sets the control, so everything, all the layers of the cake line up exactly with that straight down. And that's typically how this is done.
Ms. Marcotte.
Thank you. A couple of years ago, Westchester County invested with the pictometry. What's the name of the company?
Last year.
Well, it didn't start till last year, but it was voted on in 2009, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
How does this differ from that, in addition, and sort of incorporate Google Earth in there as well? Because I'm having a tough time.
Pictometry.
I can justify why we should do this.
Pictometry is very uniquely different because that's the oblique. It's the four-angle photography that's used predominantly for assessment processors. Yep. From that photography, you do not map features. It's a different product. It's a different software. And it's really used for the assessment community. Feature extraction is not done from obliques. It's the obliques are really just a nice, pretty picture. They're very good, but it's a very uniquely different end product for a different user community. The obliques also are very useful and very widely used in emergency response, and we are one of those products coming out of our pictometry project is to integrate that data at 911 at our dispatching center. So they are two different. I mean, pictometry again, it's obliques, it's a pretty picture, but you do not do feature extraction from that. It's when you're mapping features, it's just not. Our first jump into this particular project was in 2000, and that's when I got started. Google is a map. It's a good map. It's a viewer, but you do not actually, if you look at Google, and Google doesn't really play well with people in the sandbox. But, you know, Google, if you look at the Google map, if you launch your Google Viewer right now, if you look down in the bottom right-hand corner of it, you'll see a little watermark called New York State, or NYSGIS. Google does rarely do they fly their own photography. They just go around and harvest public domain data. So Google's map is just a viewer upon which you just add additional data to that you find or whatever data you want. But no one really does feature extraction from the Google. It won't be our data. It won't be our imagery. The next version, you know, we'll own the data. We'll distribute it as we so fit if this moves forward.
Yeah, but you can't necessarily trust it. Is what comes up. Period. Right.
Right. And, you know, and it varies. And again, the quality of the Google data does. You know, the quality of the imagery. If you're panning around, it's uniform in Westchester County. For example, I mean, maybe I've heard me say this before. I live in Vista, but if you're looking in Vista, you have a certain quality. If you move over to New Canaan, it's leaf-on.
Right.
Leaf-on. And our there's a real tight spec on it. There's a lot of engineering, a lot of it goes into this particular project. It's always leaf-off in the spring, at a very small window of time, 10 to 12, during the day to minimize shadows. Certain amount of cloud cover. When we contract with all this, we have planes waiting at the airport to make sure, you know, they're looking at the weather a couple days in advance. Couldn't fly today because there's too many clouds. So, getting summarized, Google is a viewer. You don't map from that. Pictometry is for the assessment. It's really the image. This is very controlled, a lot of engineering, very specific. This, all of our data is USDA approved at a certain engineering scale, widely accepted by the engineering community. It's the real deal.
What are you going to do with that information?
Layers of data become, they are integrated with all of our county department applications, areas. The layers of the cake that we extract from that, we provide and bundle to municipalities. Most municipalities, the tax mapping jurisdictions have contractors that we have arrangements with them that they use our data to maintain the local tax mapping products. So we have bundles, we have products that we ultimately end up developing that we use in-house as well as our work with local governments and special districts like police and fire.
Is that a product you offer to them for free?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ms. Williams, is a follow-up?
Yeah, I just want the planometric features. So this is what local governments use in terms of their hydraulics for water main and all of the repair and sidewalk repair and this kind of thing. Is that right?
Really, planometrics, and I wish there was an easier word, but that is what the deliverable is. But planometric data is visible features from the photography, such as planometrics include hydrology or streams and water bodies, stone walls, edge of pavement, street center lines.
This is what they use for maintenance as well as even just painting the lines on the street, exactly.
They can use all this data for that, yes. A lot of those features then provide context for more local data that a lot of locals will then map their features, such as manholes and catch basins.
Right.
This is the foundation for it. Of which we, in that very really great cost-effective way, we're the recipients of that local data that we don't map, and it's win-win.
I have
just on that point, As the commissioner mentioned, we've been offering this to the county municipalities for years, and when you go out and talk to people who are in planning and the engineering, DPW, different capacities, public safety in the localities, they often mention the value of this type of system. So here, once again, it's another example of a regional government providing a very valuable state-of-the-art service to localities. Sam, not to put you on the spot, but and not to make use of White Plains as an example, but no matter what they have used or not used, the fact that this is very valuable to a municipality, if we were not doing this, and they were any of the towns, any of the cities, were to go out on their own in the market to try to develop this on their own, what, just ballpark, what type of costs are we talking about that we're saving them by doing it on a regional basis?
Yeah, put me on the spot. Well, you know, there's certainly, at this point, no, there are economies doing it wall to wall for the county. And that's part of the reason we did it back when we started designing this back in the late 90s, and you know, to pay for the one planes up in the air and all that. So it really depends. Photography is actually kind of cheap now. You know, that's the cheap. It's really the labor and the data extraction is.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is the alternative is, if we don't do it, the alternative is if they want to avail themselves of this state-of-the-art service, which all of them seem to want to do or need to do, they're all doing it individually on their own. And it's not free. There's a cost associated with them doing it.
Right.
And so most of them, I know for years, have discussed with us the fact that it's great that we have done such a good job with this, and we make it available as a regional government to all of our localities.
And that's a little after the fact, but in this particular case, if this was bid, and we look at, you know, other, in the past we've looked at other countywide data collection efforts, and we've tried to associate the value of say X amount of a project of a pieces, $250,000, say countywide. We would then, the best we've gotten to is then, based on a certain land area, apportion that to the overall county. Yeah. So, you know, and there's ways to look at a population, but it really varies depending on, you know, it varies from North Salem to Yonkers.
Right.
The feature content is very different. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's depending what you're trying to extract from the photography. Yeah, and again, there may be, you know, there's 5,000 building footprints in North Salem, and, you know, X amount, 40,000 or 50,000 in Yonkers.
Right, right.
You know, there's, you know, there may be 50 miles, 60 miles of stone walls in North Salem, which are very important for tax mapping, you know, and deed research, and there's no stone walls in limited stone walls in Yonkers, so it really varies. But it does become, you know, it's a big ticket for a municipality. In general, in the industry across the country, you see little mapping like this at a municipal and local level. It's really the economies are at the county.
Right.
Very seldom do you see a local government. It happens, of course, but rarely is it done at the local level. This is the place to do it at.
Mr. Buck?
Actually, Sheila had all the questions, so I'll pass now and give it to Ken.
Mr. Jenk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I did have a follow-up on Ms. Marcotte's question, which was the differences between the Old League and the street level, et cetera. But this is the straight-down version, which wasn't funded in that whole package of items. But also, if I recall correctly, all the oblique photography, the aerial photography, we were doing already. We actually added on the street level courses.
Right.
That was the whole collaborative assessment piece, which we added. But we were already going to do the aerial photography, the oblique anchor.
Right.
Right. All right. So I just wanted to make sure that was, you know, clearer. And Mr. Ryan, actually, Chairman Ryan talked about the collaboration between the data and the facts at the IMAs, which we found out through doing the collaborative assessment. We already had IMAs in place with all municipalities to use the data, and they use that data for free. They don't pay any extra for that. So where we are with this particular item now, with this update, do the municipalities have to have any updates in their software in order to take advantage of the new data that we're going to be giving them? So I know that there's a set of standards, and I know we went through this when we were doing collaborative assessment to see if they have to do anything to keep up with us if we're just giving them a new data set.
By default, we all use, in government, we all use a certain set of software packages that can view and use the data. So our deliverable, again, if this act, if this is implemented, our deliverables would be very specific as to what is, 99.99% of the people. I mean, getting it to in a format that they need is not an issue. It always happens. It's actually getting easier to make the data available, because not only are we making it available as data, we're making it available as a web service, so they don't even have to mess with data, and it's even actually becoming a lot more useful to more people. It's actually, we're seeing now that even local governments, business partners, people who manage systems like in billing and inspections and things like those software developers that local governments contract with, and those vendors can even use our services, the map. So the web piece is even much more cost effective for everybody.
The second thing, and moving on after that, Mr. Chairman, thank you. A lot of people asked the question, and we did this when we went through the collaborative assessment bit, about utilizing outside services, and whether it's Google Maps or whatever things that are out there. You talked about it as far as what it gets out, but you didn't talk about the detail and the resolution level, because I think that was one of the things that came across, at least to me, when we were having this discussion in the past, was that the Google Maps just did not have, Chairman Alvarado said, is that the reliability of the data, because you don't know where it's from, but more importantly, the resolution of the data is at a higher level. As a matter of fact, so high that we prevent certain pieces from being on our website because of Homeland Security, if I recall correctly.
Well, all of our photography since 9/11, we have 48 or 49 areas that are masked, out, that anything gets published from our shop or made available is not only from our what you have online right now, but also the pictometry product. Those areas are being grayed out and masked out. But the accuracy is a really good question. What drives the need for, what drives the accuracy of photography is actually what is being captured from the photography. You can have, there's lots of pretty pictures of this is a plane flying, taking pictures. There's lots of this available. But our spec to ensure that the data that's being extracted is accurate for all the people, our users, down to engineers and public works, and we fly a little bit lower, so the resolution of that imagery is clearer, so we know that the photogrammetrist can then, whatever's being mapped from the photograph, we know is of a very finite scale, accurate scale. So that lower you fly, the resolution's better. I mean, it's kind of simple, it's stupid, but then we know we have better feature extraction at a lower level of photography. So it's going to be very, very good. It'll be similar to what we flew in 2000. Right now, what you see at Google right now, you cannot. That was flown up here, and you can't. We can't update our planimetric features from the plane, the photography right here. We have a real tight spec where it's going to be flown down here, and it's consistent with all other data sets. And that means a lot. That really means a lot, and that's a constant.
Yeah, if you could just help us out, because some of us are not really good at up here versus down here.
The elevation of the height of the plane. My hand is the plane.
But can you give us a number like?
Oh, you know what? 50? I can't. All right, I'm sorry.
Right. The difference between flying at 5,000 feet versus 20,000 feet is a big difference. But we need to be able to quantify that. It's hard to tell constituents that when they're out in the street and say, well,
the plane's
up here.
Lower.
The I'm just saying, last point, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and this is not for you to answer now, but if you could get back to the committee a status of our other photography project, our street level, the obliques, et cetera,
being,
where we are.
They're right? being delivered as we speak.
Yeah, right.
They're being delivered as we speak.
Right, right. Yeah.
I don't have an exact number, but there was a lot. There was a shipment of 14 or 17 to municipalities just last week. So
well, if you could get that data to us to pass in, because then we need to continue on on the larger plan that the board enacted a few years ago.
Absolutely.
And finally, from my perspective.
Thank you, Ken.
From my perspective, once you go down this road, I guess you have to have one specific period of time in the year when you're going to take these pictures, when things are more visible, the landscape changes every season. How often do you have to do it afterwards? Because landscape changes with constructions and so on and so forth.
Good question. Typically, projects like this are every 5 years, We've flirted with the issue even of change detection, kind of like artificial, the software and systems are maturing enough, so in theory we could just map what's changed since the systems know we're just not quite there yet. But then I'm not sure if I'm going to be here for yet another photographer in the future.
Neither are we.
No, but the overlaying the imagery from 2011 with 2016, and it'll only map what's changed.
It would be amazing. Like my district, I represented for 10 years, and I know if you do that, every picture that I have hanging on the wall will be totally different.
Downtown
with what we've done in Tibbetts and the different parks updates and so on and so forth, it would be a different picture.
You draw a swimming pool in your backyard to mess them up, right? When you, then you pull it up.
Oh, the blue tarp.
Yeah, the blue tarp. That's all it was. So, it's not a pool.
So up here you can get the stone walls, and down here you get the stone walling.
Yeah, right.
Motion for budget unappropriation.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
Public Works.
By Mr. Harkin, second.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second for Public Works. All in favor of both committees?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We have a WAP. Okay.
We have two sets of minutes for budget unappropriation. People.
Thank you, sir.
Is there a motion for the minutes, for both sets of minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Mr. Jenkins, second by Mr. Harkin. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. We have an item for discussion, and it is my understanding that we had invited Commissioner McGuire to discuss ANC item resolution 19501 and what's happened since.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Commissioner McGuire was not going to be available this morning. He is in a seminar. Mr. Oros asked if we could postpone his appearance. I asked him if the administration would consider would be the holding this particular resolution because we held it over once. Or withdrawing it to, I'm sorry?
Yes. Maybe he could discuss it tomorrow at the community.
He could do that as well. Yeah. I mean, that's another option.
That's another option.
But to discuss the, it's really less of this particular item, which is Providence House. It's in the entire scope. Ms. Marcotte, and she's only here one from New Rochelle. I mean, the concern from that was raised through ANC process with Oasis House, that was a shelter that was proposed to be closed by the administration in the budget process. The board saw fit to add funding for the entire year. Ms. Marcotte, Mr. Maisano, and Ms. Myers worked hard to try to get that at least extended till, I believe, the end of June, right?
Should extend it again,
okay.
Until December.
Okay, so we haven't seen that as of yet. Right. So it was extended until June, and now Ms. Marcotte is advising through September. There was supposed to be a reporting done
for the population to determine those things. So the commissioner hopefully will be able to come in, him or his deputy would be able to come in and explain, you know, the vision with this particular house, which is specifically for families as opposed to Oasis, which is more single men, if I recall correctly.
Yes,
right? This one is families. I'm sorry?
Men and women.
Men and women on this. But this issue, again, when you put it in context with the West Help scenario, you know, we really need to have a full conversation on the policy with Commissioner, because in just speaking to him on off the side, I think that Commissioner has some interesting thoughts on how the homeless sheltering scenario is evolving. We certainly know we don't need 108 units at West Help, but we're not sure what that number really should be. Should it be 50? Should it be 30? Should it be, you know, whatever that should be. But Commissioner, I expect we'd have a really lively discussion on it, and certainly, Mr. Chairman, through you, I would certainly, you know, go back to the administration and suggest that Commissioner could be available tomorrow for community services to continue that discussion. If so, that would be great. Yeah. But again, it should really be a full discussion around the table, so we understand what the Commissioner's thinking. Because, like I said, I think the Commissioner has a view. That he would be happy to present to, you know, to the board for, you know, support of an idea that he's thinking.
And the only reason why, I unfortunately, I have conflicted schedules for tomorrow, but I would really like to be in this, because it shouldn't be another year of based on what we discussed at budget time, this goes contrary to the vision that was presented to us. So this is a dramatic change to the plan that was presented to us. So I would really, as much as he may want to discuss it in your committee, Chairwoman Williams, I would like it to be our, and Mr. Jenkins, I would strongly suggest that we hold off on this item, because if this is going to be the policy, this is a dramatic change to what was proposed to us on the budget. I hope...
And it's a change as well as in terms of what was proposed to community services in the discussion about West Health.
And we are not... please, I am not criticizing the plan, but there's a lot of NIMBYism on sheltering, opening, and so on and so forth. I think the holistic plan is to be put in perspective.
That's the spirit that is intended. The administration asked for an opportunity to compromise on the scenario, to have a discussion on it. We certainly are open to doing that and wanting to do that particular item. We have a couple of different options on the table, whether both come to community services and you, Mr. Chairman, do budget and appropriations as it's appropriate. In fairness to Commissioner McGuire, he wasn't commissioner during budget and appropriations,
right.
During the budget cycle last time. And again, you know, as these things continue to evolve based on the state modifications, based on the things that happen, again, I think that the commissioner was excited by in the discussion that I had, you know, enthusiastic about being able to present the views as he sees them, you know, before we get down to budget time and on a policy level with the board helps decide. So that's where we are.
All right. So all of that remains. If someone can express to the commissioner the and again, the more we discuss it from the community service perspective and from the budgetary perspective before we move forward with something that may be just a temporary plan, I would appreciate that.
Thank you.
Both discussions take place. Any other business to come before this committee?
So moves. Close.
Motion. Then motion to adjourn.
I have a motion to adjourn Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation.
So moves.
Second.
Okay. My motion was from Mr. Jenkins, seconded by Mr. Harkin. Your motion was from Mr. Jenkins, seconded by Ms. Williams.
Ms. Williams.
Aye. Thanks so much, everybody.
Election committee meeting is
adjourned.
Very well, Peter, yourself.
Yeah, all right.
Just a second. I had that last
Oh,
for your signature.
Yes, yes.